Welcome to another episode of Capital Connection. As always, I'm your host, Matt Calder, and we've got a great show for you today. We are going to be talking with Ray Notestein. He's, of course, an editor at the Civitas Institute. We've had him on before for a couple of things, but we will be talking about his contribution, or his first contribution, to the Civitas Institute Toxic Agenda Project, a special project, where they're basically taking a deep dive down into a number of topics that are sort of agenda items of the left, things the left really want to accomplish. And in this case, it will be Ray talking about a lot of the left's goals for gun control, everything from extreme violence or extreme risk protection orders to different legislation for what age you should be able to get a gun, what kind of gun, or which guns are okay and safe, including looking at the way California is doing things as a model for some legislators to build out legislation for North Carolina, and we'll get into that with Ray. But before we get to that, I want to talk about subscribing to the show. If you're listening on the airwaves and the radio and FM stations across the state, or if you're going to the website and clicking that play button on the website of the most recent episodes, you're not getting the show in the absolute easiest way you can be getting the show. And to do that, you just need to subscribe. You can do it through your phone, through your tablet. You just go on, and if you're an Apple user, you go to Apple Podcasts. If you're an Android user, you have to download an app to do the podcasting. But it's really simple to do. I did it when I was an Android user. I used Podcast Addict. It always worked well for me. But you can go and subscribe to the shows you like, and they'll come to your device automatically. And you can do that for Capital Connection as well, just by searching NC CapCon or Capital Connection. And you can find the show and subscribe and never have to worry about going and hunting it down again. It'll just show up there for you. But that is not to say there is no value to the website. There's a couple weeks worth of shows in the archives on the app, but there is an entire 2 years or so, or 200 episodes or more, on the website freedomactionnetwork.com. And again, that's freedomactionnetwork.com. And you can look at the most recent episodes. You can go back and check out other stuff. If you listened to it in the past and want to hear it again, you can go there and check it out. Or if you're new to the show and you like what you hear and you kind of want to check some other things out, that's there for you. And that's at freedomactionnetwork.com, where the entire archives of the show is stored. But also, if you're listening on the radio on the weekends and you just enjoy doing that, we're glad to have you there as well. But think about going and finding the website or subscribing to the show and just kind of getting it to your device a little easier, a little less hassle for you. You have to sit down next to the radio whenever you want to and listen to the show. And also, I want to take a moment to thank the Civitas Institute. They are, of course, the sponsor of Capital Connection, which that is the radio show Capital Connection and podcast. And also, that is the nccapitalconnection.com, the other project I work on, the state-based political news website. And both of those are together and are projects of the Civitas Institute. And that is nccivitas.org, North Carolina's conservative voice. We definitely want to thank them for everything they do to keep us on the radio and keep the news coming out. So thank you to the Civitas Institute. But without any further ado, we will get to our segment with Ray Notestein. All right, Ray, thanks for coming on the show.
Good to be here, Matt. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing pretty well. So this is your first time on the show as part of the Toxic Agenda series, or, you know, kind of rolling as these different articles from Civitas come out on this special project. But this isn't the first time we've had people on for a Toxic Agenda segment, but kind of give, you know, people who haven't heard those a little idea of what Toxic Agenda is.
Sure. Toxic Agenda is a project of the Civitas Institute where we really just try to take a look, a deep dive at the policies of the left, what that means for North Carolinians, what that means to the country to some extent, and really just digest those issues, look through them, and look what could happen or will happen when certain folks take power in our state. And so I think that's one of the positives of just sort of really getting deep down into legislation and explaining it to the common day, everyday folk out there who may not be keeping track of this stuff quite as much as Civitas does. And so it's really, it's used to inform and educate folks about what's going on in Raleigh and what are the differences in certain policies out there.
Right. And it's kind of, I mean, these really are deep dives into certain sectors of policy. It's not a 2-minute article read. It's not a current event. It is really kind of there's background involved. It's much more involved than the usual piece that comes across Civitas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of these articles are over 1,200, 1,500 words, so they're a little more in-depth. But they're very readable, and they're very approachable for people who don't even keep up with policy that much. So I think that's one of the positives that they offer, is just a very readable, for most articles, a quick understanding of what's going on and what has the potential to be harmful to them in North Carolina with some of these policies.
Right. And so your most recent one is Toxic Agenda, the Push for California Gun Style Gun Control in North Carolina. And that definitely is an attention grabbing title, because, I mean, when we think of California, we think of, that's where the Second Amendment goes to die, or right, all but die. There's so many restrictions that us in North Carolina can't even really wrap our head around, because we don't have to deal with those at all. And it just looks like a really bad situation for anybody who likes the Second Amendment. So that definitely is an attention-grabbing headline just to start.
Yeah, and California has been criticized recently, especially on some of their expansion of gun protection orders, which we've talked about before on the show, but they've been criticized by the ACLU for going too far, for violating rights of privacy, violating rights of due process. Because one thing people don't understand about some of these gun protection orders, once they're passed in a state, some of these states, particularly blue states or liberal states like California, try to expand them. But on top of that, we've got several legislatures in North Carolina, some from Durham, but places like that, that want to copycat a lot of these California gun laws and place them into law in North Carolina. So that was one area that I focused on. And, people in North Carolina need to be aware of that. Now, those bills aren't going anywhere now, but they have the potential with a change of power in Raleigh to see some change. I mean, you have Governor Cooper, who's already decided that he wants to be more active on gun control legislation. And he's somebody who's sort of, he hasn't been on the gun control radar, so to speak. I mean, at one time, I think in 2012, he had an A rating from the NRA. And, that was to the ire of many activists and, Second Amendment activists in North Carolina. But he did have an A rating from the NRA, has taken money from the NRA at some point in his career. And so, a lot of people thought, well, Cooper's not going to do anything. But, after some of these tragic shootings, he says that he wants to act on gun control. He wants to lower the age from 21 to 18 on certain semi-automatic.
Increase the age, right?
Increase the age. Thank you for the correction. From 18 to 21. And then he wants to, expand this pistol permit process on certain semi-automatic long guns.
Right. And I mean, it's a very arbitrary type thing when we get into which semi-automatic rifles are okay and which ones are not okay, right, in the minds of certain people. It's very semantic. It's very look-based. I mean, you can have my prime example I think about is the proposed new assault weapons ban that came up, and this is U.S. Congress, but it did not. It said that a Ruger Mini 14, which is a semi-automatic magazine fed 223 rifle, which in function is exactly the same as the AR-15, that with the wood stock, this gun, normal looking traditional stock gun, was fine. The AR-15 was not fine, and that's bad enough. But then you take it a step further, and in that legislation it said that if it was a Mini 14 with a traditional stock, it was okay, and a Mini 14 with a tactical stock that works exactly the same was not okay. And that is just completely ridiculous.
Yeah, and certainly with some mini hunting rifles can be much more dangerous than an AR-15 in terms of the capacity, speed, and just sort of weight of the round. So
just the damage that like a 30-06, which is probably the most common deer, right, hunting round in the state.
Yeah, it can be much more dangerous than AR-15. So, I mean, so many of these rules and regulations are arbitrary. And I think that's why I tried to really focus on this toxic agenda piece by really focusing on what does it mean to have inherent rights in this country? What does that mean for North Carolinians and Americans? And sort of instead of just getting only in the weeds on policy, but focusing on inherent rights. And I quoted Madison, I think it was Federalist 46, 44 or 46, I don't remember off the top of my head, but he just talked about, leaders in Europe didn't trust their citizens with guns, so they didn't allow much of their citizenry to have firearms. They disarmed them. And so, I tried to make out the point that, hey, do we really want to trust our leaders if they're trying to disarm us? And so, my conclusion, of course, is no. And I think that's something that broader that we need to think about is, what is our capacity in this nation for self-government? And so I really tried to focus on that aspect as well, getting to the belief about rights. And, a lot of people on the left, not all, but a lot of people on the left believe that rights come from government, and that, the government is the arbitrator of what's right and wrong. And, the founders had a different view about inherent rights, that they predate government and that we have this right to firearms. And I think that's what the Heller decision got at, is it sort of affirmed or reaffirmed that understanding in the Constitution. And that's kind of, why we're at a standstill to some degree, because I think more and more Americans are agreeing with the founders that these rights are inherent. And even though there's this massive push now for gun control, there's been a lot of failures on the left, despite the money being spent by Bloomberg and others to implement California-style gun control, not only in North Carolina, but all across the nation. They failed recently on gun protection orders in Pennsylvania. They tried a ballot initiative to ban certain weapons in Oregon. That's not going to be on the ballot. So there's these instances now that we don't hear about in the news that are failing that I think are important for us to sort of understand too.
Right. I think it's also important to say that this California-style gun legislation, this isn't, the bullet buttons to reload, the fixed magazines. This isn't the thumb hole stocks. This isn't the weird arbitrary things that result in these funny looking rifles that are, California compliant. This isn't a magazine capacity limit that we're talking about. This is which guns you are, which handguns you are and are not allowed to own in California for what seem like very arbitrary reasons.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about the Sig Sauer P229, one of them, an iconic handgun, been around forever. Certain models of it you can have, certain models of it you can't have. And the 228, the 239, I mean, the 2022, all these well-known, very high-quality Sig Sauer firearms that are near not to be trusted with. A ton of 1911s.
Yeah.
From
I was surprised by the number of 1911s on the list.
Me too. I mean, you're talking about from a Charles Daly, right. Top of the line, Kimbers, Colts, all the way down to like Arms Corps are not allowed different 1911s for what are arbitrary
Is the Beretta on the list, but the same thing but made by on the 9mm side by Taurus?
Yeah, there'll
it's
be
the exact. I've fired both firearms. They're basically the exact same thing. One has a little bit different safety. They both have safeties, but one's in a little bit different. I think the Taurus is a safety on the side instead of the safety closer to the trigger, if I remember correctly. Or it could be the opposite, but they're essentially the exact same gun.
And I mean, the Beretta, different variations of the Beretta, the 92FS, which is what you probably think of when you think of the Beretta from Lethal Weapon.
Right.
92FS. Certain variants of that one are not allowed, while others are. The M9, a limited edition that they put out, M9, which is just meant to be, it's the military designation for the Beretta. And so it's kind of that trim package, is not allowed. I mean, and it's so arbitrary. I mean, different 22 long rifle handguns. These are the guns that you let your child, your 12-year-old practice
kind of
learn
for plunking around, right?
Yeah, they're not allowed. And it's not all of them, obviously, but there's a lot of the models that aren't. Again, there's a ton of Kimber 1911s that are taken off this list. And part of the reason they get taken off sometimes is a money thing. Mm. Because they have to pay a certain amount for every model. So if I sell a 1911, five-inch barrel 1911, a four-inch, and then the three-inch, the compact, the officer, whatever designation you use for it, that's three right there. But if I sell one of them has a rail, that's four. If this one comes with this sights, but this one comes with night sights, that's another one. And if it's on every model, you're up to eight. And if this one's got adjustable trigger sights and this one has fixed sights that are not night sights, you're up to 11. And that's with three models, and that's not talking about colors. You know, if one is stainless versus one is Cerakoted versus one is blued.
Right.
And one is, blued but brushed, so it's not glossy. That one's glossy, one's chromed. And you have to pay money for every single one of those to stay on this list every single year.
Right. And I think, just getting down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's restricting free citizens in California to having the right to own firearms. Certain types that they would want to own are excluded from the list, and I don't think that's right. And it really has done nothing to prevent crime. I do know this stat that a little over 80% of all gun crimes are committed with a handgun by somebody who is not the legal owner. So, in terms of, we all want less violence. We all want less shootings that are creating casualties in this country. But this has been proven over and over again. No gun control restrictions are going to implement that sort of goal that we all have. So we're left to being a free and responsible society. And so many firearm owners, they're the ones that follow the law. They're the ones that are doing the right thing when it comes to firearms. And I think to try to restrict those people, punish those people for the bad actions of a very select few, it is not incumbent on a free society or a free people.
Right. And I mean, we don't get rid of cars because drunk drivers, wreck them when they're drunk and kill people. We don't get rid of, lighters because arsonists set fires. We don't get rid of open flame, outlaw open flame because arsonists like to set fires. We don't ever, firearms is the only avenue or the only area where we blame the tool in right. So many ways more than the person who carried out the act.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because it's in the Bill of Rights. It's the Second Amendment. And, I think those on the left and those that are serious about restricting firearms, because they always do it so incrementally, right? I mean, they never go about this in terms of saying, we're going to just do one big ban at once. All of this action and goals for so many of these legislators and big money from the left is all about incrementally taking these rights away. But if they really want to take these rights away, they need to go and amend the Constitution, because that's really the only lawful way to do that. And I think with the Supreme Court shaping up to affirm the constitutional for more of its plain meaning, that's a very solid victory for gun owners, supporters of Second Amendment rights, to get that plain meaning of the constitutional text back into the judicial system is going to be very beneficial for firearm owners over the long run.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, because that's where the argument inevitably starts, is what does the Second Amendment mean? I mean, it really all hangs up in the beginning on, is it referring to militias only? Is it referring to, everyone? What guns right. is it referring to? And, I mean, all those arguments can be broken down. They couldn't foresee these types of guns that people have now.
Right. But, technology doesn't... I mean, our rights don't change because technology changes.
The First Amendment applies on the internet.
Right.
And the internet didn't exist. And they couldn't have foreseen that I could tweet out my opinion to the entire world. And so, they didn't foresee that the First Amendment no longer applies. No one will ever say that. But they'll say it about the Second Amendment.
And I think we need to look at, too, I mean, we all hear, like, our dads or our grandparents talking about, I took my shotgun to school, it was in my truck the whole time. And it's like, what's changed in our society? I think those are some issues that we need to address because, I can remember talking to my dad. He's like, I have my deer rifle in the back of my car, the back of my truck in high school. So what has changed in our society now that, certain kids are a very small minority, but there are some kids that are using these weapons to harm, maim, and kill certain people. And I think those are the questions that we need to address rather than just sort of banning weapons, especially when you start banning weapons in an arbitrary manner or firearms in an arbitrary manner that does not make any sense and violates our constitutional and inherent rights.
Right, and they always, it's a cliche, but they say, you know, the Second Amendment defends all the others. And it's not wrong. I mean, right. it's
Yeah, I mean, the founders were in unison agreement on that. You know, the founders didn't agree on everything. People need to realize that. When you say the founders, they weren't all in agreement in all things. But they agreed that firearms were important, that the citizenry was armed so that tyranny wouldn't reign in America, that there would always be a check, even if the balance of powers failed, that there would be a check on leadership in certain tyrannical forces in government and nature. I mean, that's an inherent fact. That's why, you know, I always get mad when people talk about the Second Amendment being about hunting. It's not about hunting primarily. It's about more than that. And, you know, I think to a credit to the American founders who understood that.
Right. And before anyone, you know, fires back with the are you advocating overthrowing the government? I mean, no, not by any means, but that is the reason for the existence, because you look at like a North Korea.
Right.
And they are a hostage population. They, you know, there's been movement with North Korea, you know, diplomatically on the international stage at this point, but it's still a very good example of a hostage population.
Absolutely, yeah. Torture their own people.
So I don't think anybody would say that North Koreans having firearms to you know, stand up and defend themselves would be a bad thing. Or all the nations where you know, we or other superpowers have supplied arms to minority groups, rebel groups, and they've been attacked and beaten and killed and oppressed to fight for their freedom. And that's the same situation that America was in. You know, this is where we're recording this, the week of July 4th. Mm-hmm. It's the same situation that America was in 250 years ago.
Yeah, and Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, very clear, he talks about, you know, there has to be a long list of grievances for us to take action against the powers that be. So, you know, he explains that you don't take this measure on lightly, and certainly not. I mean, basically what you'd have to happen is democracy to stop working or stop being implemented, and you'd have to have a very serious situation. Nowhere, you know, of course, where we're near, so we're thankful for that. But, you know, it's just always something that is important to have an armed populace to protect society. And it doesn't mean just as a check on tyranny and government, but it means just for safety and for freedom and for an obligation to be able to take care and protect your family and things of that nature. So these rights are broad and they're never ending. I mean, I think the most important thing to understand about the Bill of Rights is that they restrict government's infringement on the people. You know, they predate government, and that's why they're in there, is because government has a very narrow and limited sphere, but the people's rule over government is very broad and expansive.
Right, and there's that quote, an armed society is a polite society. And it's true. If you don't know that, you know, people think they can do things without consequences. You see it all the time. And if there is a consequence of that person could be carrying a gun, maybe you don't try and, you know, the criminal try and rob that person.
Sure, yeah, so it can be a deterrent. It definitely can be a criminal deterrent. We've seen this in certain states with very broad protections on the right to carry tend to have a little bit less crime than states that, you know, have higher restrictions.
Oh, definitely. And, I mean, you'll see the just passing legislation that expanding carry. You tend to see a drop-off in crime after that. And it's just, I mean, it's a... the numbers are there, so, and the numbers are here in your article.
Right. I think we should kind of just wrap up talking a little about what's going on in North Carolina. I think that's important just so listeners know exactly, you know, where things stand in North Carolina. There hasn't been much movement on firearms. It's sort of been a status quo for a while. I did lay out a few prescriptions in my article that North Carolina should think about expanding having a constitutional right to carry. Other states have it. States that had Democratic governors have overridden the veto in West Virginia and in Missouri. So, you know, looking into the research, I found that more minorities in North Carolina are applying for concealed carry permits. I found more women, the percentage of women that are applying for concealed carry permits are going up. So it's really incumbent upon government, I think, North Carolina government, to protect and encourage people to legally arm themselves and make that process easier. I think we should scrap the pistol permit process here in North Carolina, which, you know, has its history and relevance from the Jim Crow era of segregation. So, you know, I think there's some action that needs to be taken in North Carolina General Assembly. I know that the House passed constitutional carry, but I think it's just sort of sitting around in the Senate, and there needs to be action on the on bills like that. I think to expand an inherent right, and that will be beneficial to all North Carolinians.
Right, definitely. I mean, the pistol purchase permit is an awful, it has an awful history, but now it's so outdated and useless. When there's an instant, you know, national instant background check system, the NICS system is available and utilized at every single sale of a firearm, except person-to-person sales,
right?
Which is what people are referring to when they talk about the gun show loophole. This is a quick aside, but they're not talking about buying a gun from a dealer in a gun show. They're talking about Matt meets Ray at Swaps. The gun show,
yeah.
And you sell me a rifle. I take it. I say, thank you. Great. And that's what the quote unquote gun show loophole is. And that can happen in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah.
I've sold gun in a Walmart parking lot. That can happen in anywhere. And there is a way to close that, though. And it's not through pistol purchase permits. It's through giving civilians access to the NICS system for a yes or no, go, no go type thing. I call up and go, hey, I got Ray here. Here's his driver's license number. Okay, he's good. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think I'd be okay with that, and you know, I have no problems with that. You know, you and I and people that are law-abiding gun owners, we don't want the wrong people to have firearms either. I mean, we have children, we have families. We don't want dangerous people out there. I mean, I'm always worried about some sort of dangerous maniac too. But banning firearms is not going to solve that crisis or alleviate that crisis. There's a lot of other things we can do to protect our homes, our neighborhoods, and our freedoms here in this country.
Right. And I mean, that's true too. You kind of touched on the last thing that a legal, you know, gun owner, a Second Amendment supporter wants is for someone to misuse a gun.
Absolutely.
The absolute last thing that any gun owner wants.
Yeah. I don't go shooting with people who are unsafe or, you know, are just not properly, you know, utilizing their firearm.
Right, and that's a personal safety situation, but I mean, just in general, right. In the big picture, because that shines bad on gun owners. Leads to unfair regulations and that sort of thing. And it just, you know, we are, you know, Second Amendment supporters value the Second Amendment. They value the right to own firearms for a number of reasons. And the last thing we want to see is that abused. So if gun owners are combined saying this is a bad idea, you should listen. Honestly, people should listen, because ultimately we are the ones who want people to misuse guns less than anyone, at least in my mind.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. There's no doubt about that, and I affirm all of that.
All right, well thank you for coming on the show. Of course you can go to nccivitas.org and check out the Toxic Agenda articles and their special projects in the top right. And if you get another Toxic Agenda, we'll have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say thank you to you, the listeners, for joining us for another show, another episode of Capital Connection. We're glad to have you. We definitely appreciate you coming back every week. Or if this is your first time, we appreciate you being here and making it all the way to the end. And hopefully you'll come back with us again. But I also don't want to forget about social media, because we are on social media. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We are on all of those available. We are at NCCapCon, at NCCAPCONN, or search Capital Connection or NC Capital Connection. You will find us there. You can like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, and keep up with what's going on outside of the show and updates going on with the show. Again, that is the social media for CapitalConnection.com, which I just talked about, and also social media for the radio show together, and you'll be able to get all of that on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at NCCapCon, NCCAPCONN. But again, thank you for joining us on the show, and we'll catch you next time.